We are looking at take off your shoes. Are you bought? First Samuel chapter 2, we go again. Verse 30. Wherefore the Lord of Israel said, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me. Can we read the remaining part together? Oh, you're not there? You should have opened them before the service even started. You know that's where we're going to, right? First Samuel 2:30. I'll wait for you then. Could have gone on and on without. Are you there now? All right, verse 30. So we are going to read what God has said now. For them that honor me. Once you go. For them that honor me, I'll honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Amen. I think this is what a lot of people do not know. That God can treat you the way you treat him. God can treat a man the way the man treats God and his things. He says, those that despise him will be lightly esteemed. Which is another word for they'll be despised. So who is he going to honor? Not everyone. And that says a lot. He's not going to honor everyone. He says, he will honor those who honor him. How many of you know that a lot of things that are going on in the earth right now that God is not interested in? Yeah. God is not interested. And that's why it's always funny when election comes and we have pastors who are prophesying. Say, this particular candidate is God's candidate. God has said this person will enter. I'm laughing. God has no interest in politics. Amen? You have a voter's card. God is not going to influence you and tell you who to vote for. That's why we campaign. I say we. I'm not part of them. But recently I've been part a bit. I will soon go out again. Amen. God is not interested in any candidate. There's no candidate of God's choice. See, this person has been chosen by God. If you like, go to experience, go to every place and kneel down. God is not interested. God's interest surrounds his kingdom and that alone. There are a lot of things God is not interested in. He cares about everyone. But the fact that he cares does not mean he cares about everything everyone is doing. Amen. So, how interested is God going to be about your things? If you are interested about his things. You want God to be interested in your family? In your finances? You've got to also be interested in his things. I said, I don't know when I said this one. But during the course of this series. That sometimes we confess and we make a lot of confessions. Which is rightly so. You've got to put God's word in your mouth. Only God's word move mountains. But you can't confess and then your living and your actions are opposite. You confess, oh, I am who he says I am. Mountains come flat before me. Nothing will stand before me all my days, like God told Joshua. I am triumphant and victorious. The glory of the Lord is upon my life. My ministry is a proof of the hand of God, of the miraculous hand of God. And you see all of that. And you refuse to honor him. Then, it's plus 2, minus 2, 0. In fact, might actually go to a minus, actually times minus. It goes to a minus. Because those who don't honor him shall be what? Did I say that? God said that. Amen? The more his things matter to you, the more your things matter to him. Bereggin said, if you want what God wants, for the same reasons he wants them, you'll be unstoppable. If you want what God wants, for the same reasons he wants them, that man is unstoppable. I thought that's good. Because at that point, God has to be interested in these things because I want what he wants. Amen. If I want what he wants, and he does not fail, then I will not fail. You won't fail. I want what he wants. You want what he wants? Psalm 106. So let's begin to get into the text for this morning. During the course of this year, we have already taken a look at Psalm 106, but we're going to take another look. We are going to hear from God this morning, man. Oh my God. We are. And it will change the course of things. It will settle and unsettle. Yeah. By the power of the Holy Ghost, yeah. Psalm 106, verse 24. Yeah, they despise the pleasant land. And they believed not his word. They despised the pleasant land
and they believed not his word. Because they despised his pleasant land, what happened to them? Huh? Come on, I didn't hear you. They, come on, say it now. You don't know what happened to them. What happened to them? They'll be likely esteemed. Ah, exactly, something like that. But what happened? What did you see that happened to them? And they didn't believe his word. What now happened? They despised it. What now happened? They were destroyed of the destroyer. Uh-huh. They didn't get to the promised land. Ah, simple things now. Why are you overthinking the Bible? They didn't get to the promised land. They were destroyed of the destroyer. Because they didn't believe. They despised the promised land. Imagine someone wandering, going in circles for 40 years. A journey of 40 days. To get to Heathrow Airport in London is about 6 hours from MM2. Imagine someone use 6 days from Lagos to London. What are you going to say? That's if we does not finish in the airplane. And I don't know how you're going to journey 6 days straight. I think from our side, the farthest I've seen someone go is Australia. Yeah. New Zealand. That's the farthest I have seen someone go. I know Nigerians are everywhere in the world. Even in air. You know, but the farthest I have seen someone and I know someone who has gone is Australia. And that's a journey of days. I think about 24 hours thereabout. But imagine a journey of 6 hours turns into 6 days. That's you have useless the part of your life. That's what happened to Israel. Because if you don't esteem him, Yusuf, you will see shege. 40 days journey turned to 40 years. 40 years. You don't know the difference. It's just the way people don't know the difference between million and billion. People don't know the difference. That's a billion. When you say do you know what 1 billion is? That's why I'm always. It hurts me when I hear a politician embezzled something. A politician was recently called for EFCC with cash of 180 billion. Do you know how many houses you have to store a cash of 180 billion? Not million. Let me give you a context. 1 million seconds is about 11 days. 1 billion seconds is 38 years. 11 days, 38 years. That's the difference between a million and a billion. And so, maybe you don't understand. A journey of 40 days turned to 40 years. Because you will just not esteem God. That will not be your story. Amen. 40 days. A child of 40 days is just about a month and 10 days old. Something like that. Now compare that to a child of 40 years. Do you dare say a child? Middle-aged man. Of 40 years. That's a full-grown adult. And see the difference in their lives. See the difference honor makes. Your life will not be wasted. In the name of the Lord Jesus. They despised the pleasant land. They believed not in his word. How did we know they despised it? Verse 25. But murmured in their tents and hearkened not to the voice of the Lord. So I put it this way. When there is despising in the heart, there is murmuring in the mouth. When there is despising in the heart, there is murmuring in the mouth. How did we know they despised the land? They murmured in their tents. One of the primary ways to show that you honor God is in what you say and how you say it. Honor is in the mouth as it is in the heart. Don't forget the Bible tells us out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your honor for God will show in what you say. Are you listening to me? Come on, are you listening to me this morning? Yeah. No, God doesn't manifest himself to the same degree everywhere. Does he? Come on, does he? Nah. In fact, while he was manifesting himself to Israel, and those ones were taking it for granted, there were nations where you can say, this is God forsaken, man. For example, we had the Philistines, who had their own Dagon. They had their own gods. God doesn't manifest himself to the same degree to everyone. No. And that's why. When we say, no, let him show himself to me. He has shown himself to those who want to see him. And he keep doing that. The question is, are you worthy of it? Are you worthy of the holy? Because Jesus says, he will not give that which is holy unto dogs. Meaning, he won't give what is sacred to people who don't care about it. One of the things that should scare you in life, really. Now, there are things God can withhold because I have judged myself unworthy of it. Remember, was it Wednesday where we read Barnabas and Paul, right? Remember? And Barnabas said, because you have judged yourself unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. Remember? That means a man can judge himself unworthy of the holy. That should be a title of a teaching. Worthy of the holy. I'll see something around that. I like it. So are you worthy of the holy? God doesn't manifest himself to everyone in the same degree. He doesn't. And we're going to see more of God in our midst, in our ministries, in our families, in our finances, in our health. We have to put some honor in it. Those who despise tongues, for example, they've got none of it. Those who despise healing will not be healed. At least not by God. Amen. It's the truth. I remember some years ago, a minister said to us, don't criticize miracles. That's one of the things you must learn how to do. I don't care how it was done. I don't care what the person did. Are there fake ministers who are not ministers of God? Yes. Are there no fake doctors? Huh? Quack doctor can't catch you before. Have you seen quack nurse before? They don't give injection. They choke injection. There's wickedness in your eyes. Yeah. Before you know it, the child has come down with a foot drop because the sciatic nerve has been damaged. I've seen some children that work like because of injection. So it's called injection palsy, right? Because quack nurse and doing quack. And in quack, they have passion. I've seen a quack before. They have passion. See, I'm doing this because of you. Normally, 30 people have... People have come before. I did not attend to them. Because of you now, I have to quack. So we have quack and pseudo ministers. They are not ministers of the gospel. Not in any sense. They're not. But that does not mean that it's in your place to judge our miracles. I don't get. Sometimes I'm looking at the TV and say, this person did this and all that. I can smile. I can. But you see, the miracle itself, I believe in miracles. Yeah? You don't judge the miraculous because you don't know when you need one too. I told you the story before. Said one pastor, he slapped someone because he wanted to heal the person. In the name of, he wanted to heal cancer. He now slapped the person. While that might not look worthy of the holy, amen? Why that might not look pleasant to the eyes? Why would you slap? Can't you just put your hands on the person and then the person will just say you're healed in Jesus' name? Something like that, right? Or something like you say, okay, or you want to go Pastor Chris style and just go, which is fine. But this pastor slapped. And I told the verse that I was saying, I said, if you've got cancer and they tell you that the what you just need now is Ibajoloyi. Ibajoloyi is not a Greek word though. Ibajoloyi is different from slap. Ibajoloyi, have you ever received a slap, like impartation, and you don't know where you are? Then you've not received a slap. My dad slapped me one day when I was young. And sincerely, third heavens, that's where I was. I didn't know where I was. For the next 3 seconds, you are floating. You are gone. And they tell you that is the kind of slap it will take to take the cancer away. You say, give me 7. Amen. I'm not validating and say, oh, maybe that's how I have not slapped anyone before in the name of healing. Amen. But Jesus spat, mixed it with mud, and put it on someone's face. Ew. Come on. You're going to say that in this present age, it's a gross. That's cringe. That's weird. That's awkward. It must be a fake God himself. It must be a counterfeit. Probably you will pass up people that will judge it. Imagine you're reading on one of these your blogs. You say, pastor spits on his hand, mixes it with mud in the name of healing. People say, only God knows those that are serving him. Hold on, God, you mentioned. Say, all these new age pastors, shah. But that's Jesus. You don't judge miracles. You don't judge healings. You don't disregard it in any sense. God doesn't manifest himself to the same degree to everyone because not everyone honors it the same way. There are folks who even, they despise prosperity. In the name of not being a prosperity preacher, you now start talking down on prosperity. We say that most of these rich people serve. They are not serving God. Shut up. Is it poor people that are not serving God? It's not what you drive, it's what drives you. But if they give you something to drive, you will drive. Shut up. How can you despise prosperity? Don't you have bills to pay? Whatever you mock does not come to you. Amen. You celebrate it. You honor it so that you can receive the same. Hallelujah. The spicing in the heart, it comes with murmuring in the mouth. Numbers chapter 12. Are you learning something? Numbers chapter 12. Yeah, I'm there. Are you? I'm waiting for you. If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say oh me. Why are you not there? Maybe they say you should count 20,000 and you have finished counting it. Because you're that fast. Yeah, you're there now. All right. Verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron. Who is Miriam and Aaron again? Moses' siblings. Yeah, all right. So, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. This is Moses' writing. that makes it funny. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. I'm telling you. Do your worst. And they said, as the Lord, now they are the ones talking now. Say, as the Lord spoken only by Moses, has he not also spoken by us? And the Lord heard it. Say, has he not also spoken by us? Remember that day I was playing tambourine? It's the Lord that was using me now. That's Miriam talking now. Remember that day we left the Red Sea? Not to be proud. Who gave the psalm? Aaron said, it's you, Miriam. Who said thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power? It says you, Miriam. Some the chief psalmist here. Last time that we didn't know what to do, direction. That time that we went by that rock that we're about to turn to the wrong road. Who said thou says the Lord? Miriam says you, Aaron. Has the Lord not used us too? Watch when you say that. As the Lord, is this the only person God can use? I remember someone told me some years ago, said, you are not the only preacher in the body of Christ. I said, you think that's breaking news? I know. He said, you think you're the only one that can teach? That can teach? He goes, I was just looking. What do you mean? So he went to study his own. He started an assembly. The assembly is not assembly anymore. Honor gets nowhere. The son, rather, gets a man nowhere. Nowhere. Has the Lord not used us to? Has the Lord not spoken by us? Who edit, please? Verse 2. Huh? Look at the last sentence there, or last phrase. Who heard it? Did Moses hear it? No. So how did Moses write it? The Lord told Moses, see what they are saying about you. But Moses, me, what did I do? I said, don't worry, I've answered them. Now, the man Moses was very meek. Now, this Moses writing this, so pay attention to it. Moses is saying, now the man Moses was very meek of all the men upon the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and said unto Aaron and Miriam, come out, the three of you, unto the tabernacle of congregation. And the three came out. This sounds like a boarding house. I saw, Brother David posted something and said, when they single you out on the assembly ground like this, what does it mean? Have you ever come this before? Or they are punishing everybody on the assembly and then they say, you come here. I said, what does it mean? His bed is gone. it's better than just beat you with everybody. Which one is two of you? Just stay, wait first. That's what God did for Aaron and Miriam. He said, out of everybody, come out. Three of you. Meet me now at the tabernacle. Verse 5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud. Look at the Bible, please. And stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. Can you see that? He separated them. And he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I will make myself known unto the person in a vision. And I will speak to him in a dream. Exactly the same thing. My servant Moses is not like that. He is faithful in my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth. Even apparently. And not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Amen. The next verse says, Miriam was leprous. I don't know why God did not say anything to Aaron. So apparently it was Miriam that was talking in verse 2. Amen. God said, if I'm talking to you, I talk to you in visions and dreams. Moses hears me the way you guys are hearing me now. Moses see me the way you guys are seeing me now. And before they could say Jack Robinson, Miriam became a leper. The Lord heard it. Say the Lord heard it. Moses did not hear it. The Lord heard it. If you don't respect the things of God, God will also not respect you. He will disregard you. That's not you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we really need to shut up about fault finding and despising, especially people who are in ministry. We're all in ministry. But people who are in leadership. There's no leadership that's perfect. There will never be a human that will be perfect. Take this to the bank. There will never be a human. You will never have a pastor who is perfect. It's not going to happen. Perfection is boring, by the way. Practice makes better, not perfection. It makes you better. Perfection is overrated. Because humans will never achieve it. Amen. With the Holy Ghost, though, without the Holy Ghost, though, the day you become perfect, we all become perfect, we will not be in this body. Are you listening to me? You watch the way you talk to leadership. They were actually despising their brother, their own brother. When God said, I heard you, they would have told God, no, God, this is not about you, this is about Bobo. Or what do you call your brother? How many of you have nicknames for your siblings? Yeah. Or what do you call? What do you call him? Huh? She best. G best. Mavi does not. Pastor Mavi. Yeah. Them. You know? I said, I'm talking about them. I'm talking about. And God said, them. Who is them? Moses, they call him them. He said, hey, sometimes. He goes, shh. Hallelujah. Despising in the heart, what do you see? Murmuring in the mouth. Don't be a murmurer. Don't be a fault finder. We see how David respected Saul. Saul was busy chasing after David. Wanted to kill him. David had his own chance. Saul was sleeping. In a cave. No one there. No one to save him. David had enough time. Enough time for him to cut the helm of Saul's skirt. Or of his robe. Let's just be like, if I say skirt, I'm going to wear skirt to church. Of his robe. He cut it. And he waited. See. That is, if I wanted to kill this one. But you know what David said? He said, shall I do this to the Lord's anointed? When you see people who have an honorable heart like that, you will see God involved in their own affairs. Not just spiritually. In their natural affairs. That's why when David messed up, you know, he's meant to be at war, he was not at war kind of thing. He was meant to be in prayer group, he was not a prayer group. Amen. He was meant to be in service, he was not in service. And when he was not in service, now saw one woman who had cook bottle shape and all of that. And the rest is history. God looked at David again and said, ah! God does not see the outward. It's the heart. That's what he told Samuel. He said, man looks at the outward, but the Lord looks at the heart. God looks at the heart and he said, ah! Is David do? No, bro, David. Amen? He said, ah! Ah, no, it's David. We can't do this. And that's why, when Saul brought offerings, he slayed the entire kingdom, brought sacrifices. God just looked at him. Who do you want to deceive? See this one. Obedience better than sacrifice. There's no obedience in your heart. I honor God with all my heart. Do you? Look at Acts 23. Let me show you something. Acts 23. Just want to show you this one. It's not part of my teaching, but look at verse 4. I'll start with verse 2. I'll start with verse 1. And Paul, beholding the council, he said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to slap him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, "God will smite you." "God will smite you too, thou whited wall. For you sit thou to judge me. You sit to judge me after the law, and command me to be slapped contrary to the law." And they that stood, they said, "Are you talking to God's high priest?" Can we read verse 5? What did Paul say? Then said Paul, "I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of your people." He's an honorable man. That means you don't talk against your president too. Amen. That means you don't talk against your pastor. Anyone who rules your people. Tinubu is this. Obama is this. Which other president do I know? They change their president every 4 years. You don't expect me to keep up with that. I'm not a citizen of the country. I know the president of Nigeria. That's all I do. He's an honorable man. They slapped him. Paul said, "In your Paul now, response is fast." He said, "You slap me, God will slap you. You sit down here to judge me unlawfully. If by tonight, if you don't," then people now say, "You are talking to the high priest." Paul said, "I take that back." See, learn to accept when you're wrong. Paul said, I didn't know. I didn't know that that was the high priest. I didn't know." You know, there's Christians who have doubled down. They will have doubled down on their arrogance. They said, "That's the high priest." And so, I'm going to be the high priest. Where you high priest? You know, Kodri. High priest. And so, you know, I said, "No, I accept. I didn't know that it was the high priest." Meaning that if he was not the high priest, when Paul says, "God will smite you," if it was not the high priest, all my was smite. Oh. Amen. Paul said, "You will not speak evil of the ruler of your people." That's from Moses. Learn that from Moses, from Aaron and Miriam experience. Hallelujah. I'm honorable. Look at Exodus 16. We have to be fast now because I want us to exercise some things. "It could have gone on and on without you." Exodus 16 and verse 2. "The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." Again, this is show that what? They have despised the Lord, right? They are despising their heart, and the fruit of that, or the show of that, would be what? Murmuring in the mouth. "And the children of Israel," verse 3, "said unto them, Would to God that we died in the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by flesh pots and we ate bread to the full." Humans forget, don't they? Sorry, who cried to God that should deliver them from Egypt? Is Moses or Israel? Huh? Moses was on his own, right? Huh? The people that cried to God are not saying, "When we're in Egypt, we're eating shawarma. If I wanted to go to cinema, I was going to cinema." But you were slaves. They forgot that. They forgot they were slaves. Just think about Egypt. We'd have died in Egypt. At least we'd die eating bread. Now you want to kill us in the wilderness. Look at verse 7. Now verse 6 says, "And Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, At evening, then you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he hears your murmurings against the Lord." Sorry, who are they murmuring against? In verse 3. In verse 2, they said they murmured against Moses, and in verse 7, who did Moses say they murmured against? The Lord. "And what are we that you murmur against us?" And Moses said, "This shall be," verse 8, look at the Bibles, "This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your murmuring, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." This is what people are missing. When you murmur against this church, when you murmur, so because you were corrected at your cell level or your fellowship, and you say, "Well, sister, so why did you do this?" You know, some of you just have this practice of sulking. You know, they just, you're never beautiful when you are sulking or angry. You are ugly. Amen. Remember telling someone some years ago, you're not fine like this. Smile. I said, I will not listen to a thing until you smile. That's not for me. Smile. Amen. Smile, don't you know God loves you? Amen. Why? Because they say, you came late. Did you not come late? Eh, but, did you not come late? Why are you doubling down on your arrogance? So you keep that in your heart. Somehow, you're murmuring. Very soon, sharp, very soon. Now, just travel to Port Harcourt, I'll leave the church alone. God is in Port Harcourt too, amen. If you don't correct it now, you gotta do it somewhere else too. Leaving the church alone is not a punishment for the church. It has never been. Hallelujah. The church of God will keep standing. You don't know that. You should. By the time I leave this church, that's not the issue. The issue is you're murmuring against God. It doesn't end well. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be a fault finder. Look at Luke 10. I'm not sure it's Luke 10, but let me see. I'm not sure. Is that Luke 10 or 12? Yeah, Luke 10. Yeah, Luke 10. Verse 16. Now, that one just came to my head now. He that hears you, now Jesus, this is Jesus sending his disciples, and he's telling them, he that hears you, hears me. He that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me, I despise the one that sent me. See how many people you despise when you despise the people God has put in place. Jesus said, he that despises you has despised me, and he has despised the Father. I don't despise. I'm not disrespectful. I don't disregard people. I'm not a murmurer. I'm not a fault finder. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, who gets God's honor? Huh? Yeah, just honor him. You must have things you do that is just your own show of honor for God. I've got mine. I've got things I do in meetings, before meetings, after meetings, that just shows my honor for God. It's part of my culture already. I know Brogan said some years ago, he said, you don't clap. That clapping is not praise worship. And I've said that here before. You really don't see us clap because we actually have drums. Amen. He said, clapping is the way you applaud man. All over the scriptures. You clap is for man. What he said to be a show of worship to God is to lift our hands. You don't do that for any man. Amen. Except you are an agbero. Yeah. You don't lift your hands for man. Amen. Same way you don't clap to God. I'm not going to give you what I give man. Amen. I'm not saying clapping is, oh, totally wrong. If you clap, you are not dishonoring God. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying. I think I said we brought again on that. Amen. We're not going to treat him the way we treat another man. We lift our hands rather. Every time I lift my hands, I know something has changed. I feel it. Sometimes you can literally sense that presence of the King. Same for the gifts of the Spirit. You put some honor aside for it. Because who are those who are going to see more of the gifts of the Spirit in operation in their lives? Those who honor it. Those who honor it. What you mock, you don't get the best out of it. That the fact that you have not felt it or it has not happened to you does not mean it's not real. I remember when I was younger, and when they lay hands on people and they fall, I will laugh. I say, I can never fall. So what is this? What is this? In fact, myself and one of my friends growing up, the pastor came, Evangelist Eo Falade. Some of you probably know him. And he's a revivalist. And was laying hands on me and they were falling. So I told him, I said, I will go now. He will lay hands on me and I will fall. And it's true. I actually, nothing was doing me. As he laid hands, nothing happened to me. I said, ah! Ah! I was actually quite mischievous. Very naughty boy. I've changed now. So I said, ah! Yeah! Yeah! Ah! I will not come out. My mom was looking at me. The kind of knock she gave me. Taking Gunnar says the Lord in church. I said, well, no, she be power. Just to share. Idiot me too. I told him, just to share. Move everyone, go to share. We'll try. She wanted to know if I was. I did exactly the same way. Ah! Yeah! Yeah! I will not come out.
the man actually was also saying, come out, come out. Which I can't blame him because he felt I was possessed. So I laid on the floor and I looked at my friend. But I was mocking it. Probably God saw my heart and knew that, nah, that's not who I am. Amen. You know that's not who I am. I was just being naughty. But fast forward to many years later, and I was in a meeting. Hands were not even laid at all. Hands were not laid. The pastor just pointed to that direction. And I just knew I was not writing anymore. The next thing was I saw myself on the floor. Amen. Hands were not laid yet. So I asked the person who went together, I said, what happened? He said, you fell. I said, am I doing one? I said, no, hundreds. Hundreds fell. So the fact that, can you see the difference? The fact that it had not happened to me then did not mean that it wasn't happening to people. The fact that someone had given you a false prophecy before does not mean that prophecies are false or not genuine. They are. If you put honor on the things of God, you will see it more. Why did that happen to me years later? Because now I have some honor for it. Are you listening to me? Those who despise healing will not get healed. Not because God does not want to heal them, but there is something already in them characterized that has judged them. They've judged themselves unworthy of it. Because what did God say to Eli? I will honor those who honor him. Those who despise me can never get my honor. That's simple, yeah? Is that fair? God is not a socialist. I'll treat you the way you treat me and my things. If I place premium on God's power to heal the sick, I will walk in divine health. If I place premium on God's power to give direction, I'll never miss my step. But sometimes, because we have just been programmed to be logical and to be fast thinking in a fast-paced world where we have a lot of resources, digital resources and all of that, you're already on YouTube and you know how to this. Okay. And you have left out God to give you direction. He can't give you direction. He can tell you what to do. Do you put a premium on that? The gifts of the Spirit. He says he gives to every man as the man desires. 1 Corinthians 12. I'll start closing now. 1 Corinthians 12. I learned something. In verse 8 to verse 10, he mentions the different gifts of the Spirit that are available to every believer. This is not something that only the pastor has. No. All the gifts of the Spirit are present right here with you. You have a word of knowledge. You have a word of wisdom. You can prophesy. You can heal the sick. It's not something reserved for the pastor or the leadership. No. Every believer can do it. Why will every believer not be able to do it? Verse 11. But all of these gifts works out one and self same Spirit, distributing to every man severally as the man desires, as the man wills. That means if I don't want it, it will not happen. Some are bound in one thing or the other because they don't even desire to go. My brother again shared the story of a woman. I shared it before, who was wheelchair bound, and was it Bregan? Yeah. Us or a pastor, one of them, and said, I was praying for the woman, you're healed. Nothing happened. What's going on? Second day, nothing happened. So what do you want? So the woman said, when the husband was not there, the woman said, I don't want to be healed. Ever since I got sick, my husband has more time for me. He doesn't go to work like before. He now has my attention. He now gives me attention. He now takes care of me. He carries me everywhere. So I don't want to walk again. So you'll have wondered, why is the man of God praying and then healing is not happening? The person does not want it. Distributing to every man severally as he wills. So you need to check your desires. What do I want? Do I want God to give me a direction this morning? Do I want God to step in this morning? You believe the Lord can talk to you right now? Wait for me as I close. He can do things inside right now, inside of you right now. Amen? Sometimes we may not see it, sometimes we may not feel it. But something happens inside of you and you changed. It orders you. It begins to set the course of your life in order. That can happen in 5 minutes. Sometimes God can give you deliverance right now
change, you end up in a different place than the enemy planned. Because whether you like it or not, the wicked one has set his bow ready for the righteous. The devil has a special taste for the believer. Wants it every time. Wants the believer every time. In fact, if there is no opposition and the devil is not after you, he probably has defeated you already. Pirates don't aim for empty ships. They go after vessels that carry something. You don't see pirates on the sea. You don't see them go for empty vessels. They know it's empty. We are at war. And the weapons God has given to us are the gifts of the Spirit. If you cannot pray in tongues, you can't interpret your tongues, you can't prophesy. That's a disadvantage, not an advantage. No matter how much we try to paint it. And it's not like God has not given it to you. It's just you have not used it. Maybe because you don't really care about it. Maybe because you don't really honor it. You don't really value it. You've got a check of $10 million written somewhere. And you're drinking Gary. Another check. Cash it out. 9 gifts of the Spirit. Visions, revelations. The ability to see and to know. The ability to recognize what God is doing now. The ability to hear from Him and to see Him now. It's given to you. It's given to you, actually. Amen. So don't treat prophecies with contempt. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. No, I'll close here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 19. Paul will say, quench not the Spirit. That is, there must never be a time that the things of the Spirit are down. Quench not the Spirit. Don't quench it. Don't stop what God is doing. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. That's what he's saying. Quench not the Spirit. Then verse 20 says, despise not prophesying. Despise not prophesying. Meaning, don't treat prophecies. Don't scoff at prophecies. You've seen people, you know, someone tells you something in church. You know, God just told me to, you know, I perceive it in my heart to tell you this and this. And in your heart, you just go, okay. Normal church things, right? Normal church things. But that's God talking to you. Don't be too in the flesh. So sometimes people think God's presence means that something is spectacular. No. The spectacular necessarily does not mean the supernatural. If you enter this hall this morning, like I said in our teaching some years ago, Quench on the Spirit, and you enter this hall this morning and you didn't see any usher and you heard a voice, you say, welcome to church. And you look around and you hear, welcome to church. And as you're about to sit, you hear the voice say, no, move forward. Will you move? Eh? But when the usher tells you, you go, that's my preferred seat. But when you not see anybody, I'm only here for me. Let me move forward. And then, as the pastor comes in, just as I'm standing there, you just see one us is running on one spot. Fire us. Another one here. And on my head, you just see smoke. And I say, stand up. You're not born, you were not to stand up. If not for anything, the us. You don't know whether I can tell them to. And sometimes we think that is God. Nah. Elijah said, there was an earthquake. The Lord was not in it. There was fire. It was not in it. There was wind. There was, he said it was in a voice. The spectacular necessarily doesn't mean it's supernatural. Sometimes the supernatural comes to us in the simplest of ways. Because God is simple. How do you know God is simple? Jesus was born in a manger. If I was the one writing the story, and I want to send my son and I'm God, man, there'll be no Muslims. Because everybody will believe. What will happen? We shake the world. The way Jesus will come, you will believe. There will be no other religion. But he was born in a manger. He grew up as every normal child will. He had friends. He had disciples. He died on the cross. God is simple. Stop looking for the spectacular. Sometimes in looking for the spectacular, we miss out on the voice, the still small voice. Everyone in you, right beside you right now, is a vessel God can use to talk to you. Don't judge yourself unworthy of the holy. Position your heart to always receive. Despise not prophesying. God is talking to you. Honor Him. Honor Him. Put some honor. Don't scoff at prophecies. Don't despise it. 95% of whatever I'm doing right now in my life and direction I'm going is prophecy. My dad was around for my birthday the other day, and he was saying something. He said,
So we were discussing and we got to a particular point and he said, it was in my office. And he said, I'm not surprised at everything you're doing now. He said, when you were born, I was born in church, by the way, amen. When you were born, he said, that was the first time I was hearing tongues that much. And the pastor was speaking in tongues. He had actually not told the story to this point, ever. He said, the pastor and the wife were speaking in tongues directly to my ears. I said, oh, that makes sense now. I've always heard tongues all my life. Sometimes I'm sleeping, I'm hearing tongues. He said, that was the first thing I heard. I'll be stupid to despise that now. It didn't take me much to speak in tongues. I wanted to fight it. I wanted to argue it. Because I can be quite curious. I can be quite inquisitive. God caught me in the toilet. He forced me to speak in tongues in the toilet. I didn't come out for about 3 hours. When you are speaking in tongues for the first time, don't despise it. Let your life be guided by the supernatural. Katuski, Hadele Petis, Pridi Fukari Midi, and the Tika Sepakuta Latas. There are directions that are peculiar to God alone that no man can show you, that no man can give. There are things that you do not know you should be involved in right now that only God can tell you and put you on the path and tell you how to go about it. But you will never find out if you do not honor him. Despise not prophesying. And this morning, words will be said. Things will be heard. Things will be seen that will change the course of our lives for the better. I believe and I receive that God is here. And he will talk. He will talk. And he will be seen. Can we, God, as we sit there like that, we make groups of fives. Five, five. Five, five. Fast, 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 fast. We don't have a lot of time. And we're going to speak. Why seated? We're going to speak the heart of God to ourselves. We are going to get the best of both worlds. Yeah. Don't stop speaking in tongues. God has something to say to you and through you. Open your eyes. Open your ears. Till you understand the Lord is here. Open your eyes and open your ears.